It's hour number three of this week's Blues Before Sunrise. I'm your host, Steve Cushing. You know, I was trying to think the other day of something I could play, something we could do that we haven't done in a while that might be interesting for listeners. And one of the things that occurred to me, I don't know when the last time we did this was, but there is an extended interview with a couple of landmark blues people. There's an interview that all three of them, it's like a round table. Alan Lomax talked to Big Bill Brunsey, Memphis Slim, and Sonny Boy Number One, John Lee Williamson, all apparently sitting at a table or sitting somewhere and discussing the blues. This interview was held March 2nd, 1947, and I don't know, for one reason or another, they didn't use their real names when this thing originally came out. I remember Bob Kester explained it to me, that Memphis Slim was listed here under the pseudonym of Leroy. Big Bill Brunsey went by the pseudonym of Natchez, and Sonny Boy Williamson was known as Sib, S-I-B, Sib. So I don't think that they ever actually use their real names here. This runs the better part of an hour, maybe 55 minutes. And there's music interspersed here with this. Again, this is Alan Lomax conducting this interview. And Big Bill, Memphis Slim, and Sonny Boy in conversation, all here from on Blues Before Sunrise. The thing, listen very carefully when Sonny Boy talks, because he's sort of tongue-tied. He hesitates on his delivery. I don't know if he ever stutters on this or not, but he was a well-known stutterer, and he's such a great artist, it's just fun to listen to.
Complete, you know, life is like that. Well, some people say that the blues is a cow want to see a calf, but I don't say it like that. I say it's a man that's got a companion and she turned him down. And things like that happens, you know. And that's where I get the blues from, when I want to see my baby and want to see her bad and something happens, I can't find her, and that gives me the blues. So what do you think about it, boy? You got something to say about the reason why you have the blues.
Well, I tell you, Bill, it really worries me just to think. I used to have a sweet little girl, you know, named Estelle. You know, we used to go to school together, and we naturally grew up together, you know. We grew up together, in other words, I wanted and loved her and asked her mother for it, and why she turned me down, and that caused me to think. See, I couldn't get it. See, I thought that's when I thought of little school girls, because me and this girl used to go to school together, you know. And then, her parents thought that I wasn't the right boy for her, you understand, and wouldn't make her happy and everything, and so they turned me down. And then I just got to sitting down thinking, you understand. And then I thought of a song and I started to drink it, and then I started to sing it.
What was you drinking?
Oh, well, you know, that time out in the hills like that, you couldn't get this good whiskey. You had to drink what you could. I was drinking, you know, some of that white corn whiskey, you know, made out of the real corn, you know. And so that gave me the blues, and I started.
Okay. Well, now, what do you think about it?
Well, not about the blues. Blues have moved me a lot. I mean, I still have the blues, but when I have trouble, blues is the only thing that helps me. I mean, that's the only way to kind of ease my situation. If I have lots of trouble, for instance, the rent situation and so forth and so on like that, the blues is the only thing that gives me consolation.
Well, what about places where you didn't have to pay rent? Just on a plan.
Well, I still had troubles.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, women troubles and so forth and so on like that.
Yeah.
Blues is the only thing that, you know, I could consider.
Well, the thing I think about the blues is it didn't start in the North. In Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, whatever it is. It didn't start in the East, neither the North. It started in the South, what I'm thinking.
It started from slavery.
Yeah. And that's why poor people, they got their rent and the grocery bill and everything all combined together. The same time. That's the way they paid. They didn't know anything about rent and those things in those days.
But you agree with me that blues help a man out. I mean,
yeah, for the feeling.
You
can express
it. You feel much better if your wife left home and left you and if you're wrong, something like that.
Well, I mean, why are they starting south?
Yeah, I agree. I agree on that. But the thing about it is this. It helps you, yeah. It helps anybody to explain what they're feeling.
Expressing your feelings.
Yeah, yeah. That's
especially
all. That,
if you're a blues singer.
That's it. But the main thing is why the blues, why a fellow that gets a hold to the blues, why do we have the blues?
Well, the blues and the spiritual is somewhat on the same order. I mean, if you have trouble, if you have trouble, you go to church and you sing, you feel happy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you get a little consolation there.
Well, I tell you, here's my thought.
I think to the rest, we colored people have had so much trouble. We as one nation is, tried to be happy anyway. You ever notice that? It's because we have never had so much, you understand? And you understand? We just try to make the best of life that we can. You understand?
That's right.
We don't have nothing, that's but right. We try to be jolly anyway. We don't let nothing worse too much. You understand? And then we go to them country suppers and... When I used to have a dollar in my pocket, I thought I was rich, man. You know?
Right.
We never was, at least I wasn't. I never was used to so much, and I always had to work, you know, and I never did have so much. Yeah. I always had to work.
I
remember we cleaned up a whole bottom, you know,
yeah.
Bottom.
Willis
new ground. Thick. Yeah, Willis was thick. Mm-hmm. I've stalled 4 mules to wagon.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
4 mules, you know, out in the bottom. Clean it up. We had to clean it up in the winter so we could work it that summer. You understand?
Yeah. Now, what kind of songs, what kind of, did you have the blues down on places like that, or what kind of blues did you sing now?
Of course I did, and I sang one of the songs I made up when I was cleaning the thing right now. Here
okay.
we go.
Lord, I can hear my name ringing. Down the line. Oh, Lord, I can hear my name ringing all up and down the line. Now, I don't believe I'm doing nothing or grasping. My time. Now I know, oh, you don't love me, don't love me no more. Oh, now I know, you don't love me, oh, don't love me. I believe you lied to me when you say you love me. I believe you better know so and so. Now I believe I go back down and see you somewhere. Come on, baby.
Come to showdown, and we really want to know why and how come a man have the blues. I worked on levee camps, extra gangs, road camps, rock camps, and rock choirs in every place, and I hear guys singing this and that. And I want to know and want to get the thing plainly that the blues is something that's from the heart. I know that. And whenever you hear a fella singing the blues, I always believe that it was really a heart thing, from his heart, you know. And it's expressing his feeling about how he felt to the people. And that's the only way he know to say those things. I've known guys that wanted to cuss out the boss, and he was afraid to go up to his face and tell him what he wanted to tell him. And I've heard him sing those things, sing words, you know, back to the boss, just be behind the wagon, hooking up the horses or something like that, or the mules or something, and then he go to work and go to singing and say things to the horse, you know. Horse make like the mule stepped on his foot. Say, "Get off my foot, God damn it," or something like that, you know. And he meant he was talking to the boss. "You son of a bitch, you say, you got no business on my foot. Get off my foot," and such things as that. That's
yeah,
the point.
Blues, you know, is kind of a revenge. You know, you want to say something, you want to, you know, signifying like. Mm-hmm. That's the blues. Like, you know, we all fellas, we had a hard time in life and like that, and that's things right. We couldn't say
that's
or
right.
do. So we sing it.
That's right.
I mean, we
well, how do you how do you express those things, that word you sing? How do you sing a thing like that?
Well, a friend of mine that I know, were down working on the railroad long years ago. I don't remember when it was, but he sang some songs to me, a little number called "Old Ratty Ratty Section, Old Ratty Ratty Crew." Well, the captain getting ratty, ratty, boys, you know I'm going to rat some, too. Well, he couldn't speak up to the captain and the boss.
That's
he
right.
wasn't doing anything.
Right.
He was laying out sleeping, but still had to work. So he gave him the blues, and he couldn't speak his mind, so he made a song of it. He
That's
sang.
Right.
Still, I say, signifying and getting your revenge through song. That's
well, the only thing I know, really, about a levee camp, of course, I worked on levee camps, and I worked on road camps while it's building roads, you know, and we put rocks down and... Well, we build a, you know, build it up, you know what I mean? And then we have graders that go along and grade it, and we fill up the holes and the sinks and things with slips and wheelers and stuff like that on the road. Then the rock gang come along and put on sand rocks.
Yeah.
You know those, you know what I mean? Well, the only thing is the difference between a levee camp and a prison farm is that a levee camp, you can go from one levee camp to another when you get ready. You could run off, run. You could
yeah,
get
you
away.
Run off.
They didn't have no payday there. You go and draw what you call you draw your allowance, you know, and you get so much a week, and after that allowance is up, that's all you got. See, maybe sometime you didn't get no pay at all.
Yeah, and most of us didn't know how to read and write and figure.
That's
so
right. That's
they charge us what they want us.
That's
so
right.
They charge us $25 for a side side meat or something
well,
like
right,
that.
Yeah.
And we have to stay there until we paid for
that's
that.
Right.
And we didn't know how much we were getting. We,
yeah.
Maybe we get 25 cents a day.
That's right.
Or something like that.
That's
so
right.
When we get released, say, "Well, you owe me $400.
That's true, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
For eating and sleeping.
And then if you suppose you be working a team of mules, and one of them get his leg broken, you have to kill him. That's your mule.
Then you work the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's your mule.
You work
you bought that
until you can slip off.
Yeah,
that's
you bought
right.
that. Well, what you going to say? If you say anything, maybe you go like the mule did, huh? "Well, I'm here today. Ooh, Lord. But tomorrow I may be gone. Yes, I'm here today. But tomorrow gone." Can't you sing one of them things? You know, that's the way they used to holler down there. How did you used to do that?
Well, but I tell you, levee camp and prison farm, they used to sing a song about, "I'm going to Memphis when I make parole. Stand on the levee and watch the big blow.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good,
they used to
man.
Sing.
That's
they used
good.
To sing that number.
Yeah.
And you sing, "Lord, I wonder what got the matter, Matty won't write." You know, numbers like that. And in Nashville, Tennessee, used to sing, "Well, have you ever been to Nashville? Well, have you ever been to Nashville? Well, have you ever been to Nashville? Oh, Lordy. The Nashville Pen. Boy, if you don't stop your stealing,
But if you don't stop your stealing, boy, if you don't stop your stealing, oh, sonny, you're going back again. Yonder come Alberta. Yonder come Alberta. Yonder come Alberta. Oh, Lordy, how in the world do you know? I can tell by the apron. I can tell by the apron. I can tell by the apron. Oh, Lordy, the dress she wore. See, Bill, that's what I mean. That's part of the blues. That's where the blues started.
You know, the way we lived in those tents and things like that, and the food we had to eat. It was just really scrap food from what other people had refused that they didn't want. You know what I mean? The old bags of beans and stuff that they couldn't sell.
They take all that stuff and put it in a pot.
That's right.
And they had a name for it. La La Lou. If you don't like it, he do.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, but you like it.
You might not like it when you first get there, but you like it. You see, they have those big truck patches, they call them down gardens and things like that. And they'll go out and pull up greens, you know, about a sack full, you know.
That's right.
And take them to the lake or creek or whatever they call
it. Shake them off and throw them in the pot.
Shake it in the water and throw it in the pot, one of them big 52-gallon pots, you know, and cook all of the stalk and the root.
And if you found a worm in there and say, Captain, here's a worm in my greens, so what the hell you expect for nothing?
Yeah, I'll say that.
There you go.
That's right. That's true, too. And
some fellow over along the table said, give me that piece of meat. Yeah. You know, one of those things.
You ever heard talk?
I mean, they seem to got a kick out of it.
Well, in them times, what do you know?
A lot of fun. Give me that piece of meat. Don't throw that away.
You ever see those guys they call table walkers?
Yeah. You
get up from way down the other end of the table and walk right down through the table and pick up what you got. Those guys,
they were what you call tough people. I mean, they know they're going to get a whipping.
Pull that 45 out and walk the table.
Yeah, you knew he was going to get a whipping. I mean, he pulled that 45 on us, and when the white man come, the white man whipping with his 45 on him.
Yeah, he didn't.
White man wouldn't have no gun or anything.
No, that's right.
He just come and say, lay down, that fella, I'm going to whip you.
Yeah,
and he whip him. Yeah. And then he'd get up and probably knock his gun out of his scabbage.
Yeah, that's right.
And so he'd pick up his scabbage. After he get his whipping, put his gun back on and go on back to work.
That's right. That's right.
And come on out there and kill one of us or something like that.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah.
In the meantime, about it, if you were a good worker, you could kill anybody. Now, that's so long as it's colored. You could kill anybody. You can go anywhere.
As long as you kill a Negro.
Yeah, as long as you kill a Negro.
That's right. You could kill any Negro.
If you could work better him, don't kill a good worker.
No, you were sorry. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You go to
what about those old guys that come out on those on levee camps and
hustling around?
We'd call them dudes and card sharks and things.
Well, a lot of those fellas, they made good levee camp workers out of them. You know, those dudes and sharks. A lot of them they catch them. And of course, a lot of those dudes and sharks was bad. Yeah, they come around and they win your money and they kill you and they get away with it.
I know one. They call him Mississippi. He was a dude and a worker killed him. A boy named Albert. The story is that this guy, Mississippi, he came to Alltime, Arkansas. That's the name of the town. And he was going with this boy's wife, Albert's wife. Her name was Pinky.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to the bail house that night, come in there that night about 12 o'clock. He came in the bail house, and the gang officers in there drinking, playing, and going. Somebody hollered, said, look out, here's Mississippi. So we all ran, some of us running in the back and run outside and in the woods and different places. So I hear him say that I ain't coming here to raise no salmon, nobody, but Albert. So now I come here to get Pinky out. I'm going home and sleep with her tonight. And she kept hollering, said she didn't want to go with him. She wanted to go home with her husband.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, he made her get out of there and go home and go to Albert's house while Albert had for Pinky to stay. So he went on to this house and Cat Pinky on there, and him and Pinky went to bed. And Albert see this window open, see? So Mississippi laying there asleep, you know? And he just crawled in the window and went in there and shot him right through the head, killed him dead there, see?
I remember when I was sitting on my mother's knee. She often told me the story about that bad man, Sanger Lee. She says, son, he was a bad man. He's the baddest man I know. Well, he killed Billy Lyon. It was late last night, but I heard my bulldog bark. Like a little bit of lion wobbling in the dark. Said it dropped, poor bit of lion, all up and down my wrist. I was bloody from his head down to his feet. Sagalee told Miss Billy Lyon, you don't believe your man is dead. Why don't you look around the corner, see what a hole he has in his head. Tom Devil, he asked his daughter, who can this bad man be? That must be the bad fellow.
All right, let me break in here and remind you, if you're just now joining us, we're listening to Landmark Recording. It's a roundtable interview that was conducted by Alan Lomax back in March 2nd of 1947. And the people that are talking to, he's talking to, if you don't recognize the voices, it's Big Bill Brunzi, it's Memphis Slim, and it's Sonny Boy, it's John Lee Williamson, Sonny Boy number one. And it's actually known under the title, this package is called Blues and the Mississippi Night. And I've seen it before, but when it was transferred to CD, Ryko Disc has the copy, did the copy that I'm using here today. And the music interspersed, I think, is Memphis Slim, if I'm not mistaken. And in any case, and once again, you didn't hear them mention any names there. Memphis Slim was Leroy, Big Bill was Natchez, and Sonny Boy was Sib, but I didn't hear them anyways make any reference to each other by name. That's about halfway through. What we'll do is finish it up here. There's six more tracks of conversation with these gentlemen. It all happens here on Blues Before Sunrise.
Lord, Lord, yeah. Lord, 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 yeah. Well, ain't that boiler coming down that road? Well, won't that butter buddy want to know? Well, she want to know, baby. She want to know. Well, she want that butter buddy. She want to know. Well, Lord, butter, Lord, gal, Lord, butter, Lord, gal. I've been calling butter, butter, the whole day long. Well, how can you hear me when you ain't at home? Well, you ain't at home, baby. You ain't at home. Well, how can you hear me when you ain't at home?
one's married.
I've been around for the half prisoners and have them chained together. And some chain gangs, they just have chains with a big ball hung to their legs, and they make them work. And I've heard of chain gangs where they put a chain or rope or something on a guy and tie him to a stake, and they let him work till he get out to the length of that rope or that chain or whatever to happen to him. Then they pull that stake up and put him to another stake. Then they let him work going around like that, see?
If a fella go to Cummins, and they give him for the longest time, you know, we give him 100 years or 50 years or 75 years or something like that. Well, after he was there a certain amount of time and became used to it, they would make a busty out of him and give him a gun. He'd be a guard. He'd guard the short timers that had, they call them short timers, that had from 3 to 10 years like that, see?
All right, down there, they whoop them down there. They whoop the prisoners down there. They really lash them down there.
Yeah, well, we still refer...
Cat of nine tails.
We still referring to the blues, so...
Yeah. Well,
that gives you the blues.
Blues.
Yeah, that's the blues
right
down
on
south
there.
Is
that's
where
right.
the blues came from.
But
so what
the point I'm trying to talk about is those fellas that they got down there on them chain gangs, the big balls hanging on their legs. Can't go anyplace, you know, unless there's a guard right over them and all that kind of stuff. Those fellas have the blues, too.
I ain't got long like a mother's home. Pray for me, mama. Pray for me, you can pray for me. Lord, I got a long hold over. I can't go free.
Yeah, well, I remember a friend of mine were down there. Of course, he was in a much better place than what you're talking about. It was so tough down there that they didn't put these things on them. They let them go.
Yeah.
They tell them to run, you know.
Uh-huh.
Run.
The dogs is there to catch you or to track you to watch whenever you run to.
That's right. The dogs track you. The dogs track you down.
If you try to get away. That's what I mean about the heart part. You see, you singing from the heart and the way
that's
you feel.
Right, that's
it's
right.
not the way for right. nobody to play
There's
behind
some experience
you.
Experience and things that you want to do or want
to
know.
Things that have really happened to
that's
you,
right.
you know what I mean?
That's the blues.
And, of course, you take some people who haven't had no hardships, and they don't understand how it is with the poor man that have had, that still haven't.
For instance, classic and,
that's
and
it,
stuff like that. And they don't know what blues
that's
is.
It,
so
yeah.
They couldn't play the blues even if they wanted to.
That's right.
I mean, it takes a man that had the blues to play the blues.
Well, you've got to be blue to sing the blues.
That's true, right.
Thank you.
they passed a law in Arkansas, no hitchhiking.
Yeah.
And one afternoon, I was hitchhiking, trying to get around to Little Rock. Mm. And so a fellow by the name of Mr. Cuff, he was the baddest fellow down through.
Guy, yeah,
in the latter part of Arkansas. So he said, "Well, you doing hitchhiking here, fella, a boy?" I said, "Well, say, I'm trying to get home to work." He said, "Why you work at? Who you work for?" I said, "I work in Hughes for Mr. Charlie Hewlin." So he said, "Come on, I'll take you there." You know what I mean? Any other time,
yeah. You'd have whipped any other man.
Yeah, don't be working. Yeah. You'd have got a whipping.
That's right, yeah. That's
and,
right.
And went to jail and went to the levee, that's went right. to the farm.
Went out on the farm and worked for no pay.
That's right. So that's right, since I was working for Mr. Charlie Hewlin, he taken me to Mr. Charlie.
Yeah, he was even scared to bother you because you was one of his.
Right, he take me in his car.
That's right.
He also gave me a drink.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
they'll do that.
Yeah.
They'll do that too.
That's right. About Charlie Hewlin, see, he was really a friend. I mean, we thought so anyway that time to Negro.
Well, that's the man that we all run to, in time of just like
when someone mistreated us.
Yeah, Lou Rand or some of those guys.
Otherwise, he was considered the mercy man.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember an incident happening in Hughes, Arkansas. They had a fellow there named Charlie Holman that were running a honky-tonk.
That's right.
And he had a lot of property there, you know. He had a lot of property there. He'd been a customer. So they hired a sheriff there. And so this sheriff was living in one of Charlie Holman's place, house. And he wouldn't pay Charlie no rent. He was just staying there. And so every time that Charlie would ask him for some rent, he'd whip him.
Yeah.
So, he happened to be, as they say, one of Mr. Charlie Hewlin's Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlie Hewlin finally got enough nerve to go tell Charlie Hewlin. So, Charlie Hewlin tells the police, say, "Saturday evening at 1 o'clock, meet me. I'm killing you or you kill me."
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's no joke. That's what happened. So, he met him that evening. And he told him, "Well, I came to kill you. You've been messing with one of my Negroes." So the police went to get his pistol, and Charlie Hewlin shot him through the heart. So they pulled him over out the street and let the honky-tonk roll on.
Honky-tonk roll on?
Yeah, let the honky-tonk
roll
on.
Well, I've been in places, that was levee camps. I've been in places where they have them, you know, they have their dances and their bell houses, what they call us. And Negroes all be in that gambling, you know, and they shoot a Negro down, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And some little short guy be standing around the crap table, and the crap table is high. He can't get up there. And I've seen them pull him up,
stand
pull
on
that
him.
Dead man up there and stand on
that's
him and still keep shooting dice,
that's
see?
Right, that's
and I've heard Loran come around and say, if you boys keep yourself out the grave, I'll keep you out of jail.
That's see? Right. They
say, if you kill a nigger, I'll hire nothing. If you know what I mean. If you kill a mule, I'll buy nothing.
Yeah,
you
know,
one
I,
of those things.
I,
you
I,
heard
that
of that?
Occurred to me on the levee camp. They used to say, you know, when fellas be so tired for carrying logs or something like that, you know, clearing a new ground.
Yeah.
You say, burn out, burn up.
Yeah.
Fall out, fall dead.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Just keep rolling. Yeah, I mean, that's the best you could do. So
yeah.
You work yourself to death, or either you're a good man.
That's right. That was I've heard of those things,
yeah.
too.
Burn out, burn up.
Mm-hmm.
Fall out, fall dead.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we had a few Negroes down there that wasn't afraid of white people, then talk back to them. They call those people crazy.
Crazy people.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder why they call them crazy, because they speak up for his rights.
Yeah,
that's
they call them crazy.
Well, they do that, you know.
Yeah.
I had an uncle like that, and they hung him. They hung him down there because they say he was crazy and he might ruin the other Negroes.
That's right.
See?
Yeah.
And that's why they hung him, see, because he was a man that if he worked, that he wanted pay, and he could figure as good as a white man, and he had a good education as some of the white, better than some of the white people down there, because a lot of them down there would come to him for advice.
The white people down there were just about almost as dumb as we were.
I remember one time, my auntie, she had a baby, had a boy, see, and he was about two or three years old, yeah. And the white man come up there one day and he told him, he said, "Say, Jerry, says, I want you to get that woman out there and put her to work. Says, there's no woman here sets up and don't work and sit up in the shade but Miss Ann." And my uncle said, "Well, who is Miss Ann?" He says, "Miss Ann is my wife." He said, "Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Say, my wife is named Ann, too, and she sets up in the shade. So she don't come out in the field and work." He says, "She got to come out." I said, "No nigger sets up here to outwork it." He said, "Well, that's one. Miss Ann is a Negro, and she ain't going to work in the field." And he jumps off his horse. Well, he whooped him. My uncle whooped him and run his horse on the way and then beat him up and run him away from that. So then he went to town. They got a gang and come out there after him that night. And he shot all four or five of them, and they got away. And so then they finally caught him, and they hung him. Yeah. About 50 or 60 of them come out there and got him, killed him. That was on the corner he was protecting for his own wife because he didn't want his wife to work out on the plantation, on the farm. And his wife had a baby there at the house she had to take care of, and she was expecting another one pretty soon. And he said that she wasn't too good to work because she was a Negro. She could work as good as any other Negroes on the place. That was the whole story about that.
Another man done gone. 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 He's from the county farm. He's from the county farm. He's from the county farm. I didn't know his name.
Main thing about it, I've seen this happen too in the South. That one boy down there, he was a white guy was liking the same girl that this colored boy was liking, and he told this colored boy not to marry this colored girl because he wanted her for himself. And the boy told him that he loved her and he was going to marry her. He said, well, you can't get no license here. So the boy ran off, him and the girl, and went off to another town, and they got married. And they come back there, and the man asked him, was he really married to her? He said, yes. So the girl figured if she showed him the license, he would leave her go. So she showed him the license, then they went up there and got him and killed him. And then come back and got her, and she was in family way, was expecting a baby. And they killed her. And then they went and killed his daddy, and they killed his mother. And then one of his brothers, he went out to fight to try to protect him, and they killed him. So they killed 12 in that one family. That was 1913. The boy was named Andrew Belcher. That's the one they killed. And the whole family was Belcher. That was at the place they called Lawndale, Arkansas. That's out from Gould's, Arkansas. We're out there in the woods. Killed the whole family out there. You know, the main thing they'll do down there, just like if I got three brothers, I'll go to work and do something to a white man, and they can't catch me, they'll catch the other brothers.
Anybody in the family.
Yeah, you see, and the main time, all the time, you could do these things and get away and run off, but why do something other than get your whole family killed? You know what I mean? So that's what they know they got on you, see, and if you got a family, they got a girl in the family that they like, you just want to let him have her. Because if it don't, he liable to do something, you know, it's outrageous. Because when they see a Negro woman they like, they're going to have her if they want her.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone. Another man done gone. Another man done gone. He's from the county farm. 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 I didn't know his name. 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 He had a long chain on. He had a long chain on, he had a long chain on, he had long chain on.
What they call a bad Negro is a Negro that will really fight his
anybody,
own people.
Anywhere.
See? And then the Negro that will fight the white man, they call him crazy. They don't call him bad. See, because fact of business, they say he's going nuts. The white man will call a Negro a bad seed, just like you plant a seed.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
ruin the rest of the Negroes.
Ruin the rest of the Negroes. Yeah, you understand the point that I mean?
Sure.
Well, he would open the eyes of a lot of Negroes, tell them things that they didn't know.
He was a smart Negro.
And he'd go around and get the Chicago Defender and bring it down there, you know what I mean? Get it down through there and read it to the Negroes.
Speaking of Chicago Defender, I were in a place, called a Marigold, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had a restaurant in there, and in the back they had a peephole.
Yeah.
And I thought they were gambling back there or something. Mm-hmm. I went back there to see whether they gambling. In fact, I was kind of stranded. I wanted to go back there and mm-hmm. shoot a little crap
yeah.
and make me a little steak. And you can imagine what they were doing back there. They were reading in Chicago. The defendant had a man on the door.
Lookout man
on the door with a peephole. So,
yeah.
And if a white man or something come in the restaurant, mm-hmm. they'd stick the defender in the stove,
yeah.
burn it up,
yeah.
and start playing checkers.
Yeah.
That's the way they had to smuggle the defender back.
Yeah.
That's what they really call a bad nigger. A nigger that had nerve enough to smuggle a Chicago defender down in the state of Mississippi where
yeah.
they didn't allow him to put him off there.
Mm-hmm. You see, that's what makes him so tetchous till today. Because he have been denied in so many places until if a gang is in a place and they say, you fellas get back, get over there, or don't stand there, or something like that, they figure right straight that you're pointing out to the Negro, see? And a lot of times they don't mean that. They really mean they don't want nobody standing in that place, but the Negro thinks right straight that they're preferring to him because he's black.
Well, I tell you what happened to me. Mm-hmm. My mother, she bought a mule from they call him Captain Mack. You know, he's a boss of the County Road. That's from Jackson, Tennessee.
Jackson, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. He's the boss. We got it down there, County Road. You know, they mm-hmm. take you out on trucks, you know, and you build bridges and you
yeah.
dig ditches and things like that. You know, of course, they didn't use no chains. Mm-hmm. But he sold my mother a mule. So by me being young and everything, mother gave me the mule. And naturally, young boys, you know, I'd run the mule. Of course, the mule, he was a nice looking mule. Well, finally, the mule, he got marred up in the bottom, you understand? And the mule died.
Wait a minute.
Is that the mule you married?
Yeah.
What do you mean, marred up?
The mule got marred up.
In mud.
In quicksand.
Is that the mule you bought the hat for?
The mule marred up and he died. And so this Captain Mack, he told mother that he was just crazy. So I'm crazy to get that damn boy out there on the county road. I'm going to do him just like he did that mule. And so his mother had scuffle to keep me off there. Every little move I'd make, so he wanted me. So he goes, I thought he done sold the mule and she done paid him for the mule.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to do me like I did the mule.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I killed the mule.
Well, how old was you then? You was young.
Oh,
man.
I was young. I was around 14 years old.
14 years old then, huh? That word, we'll go back to that word, why they say, kill a nigger, we hire nothing. Kill a mule, we buy
right.
nothing. See, all those things comes into that same word, see? And in fact, back in those days, a Negro didn't mean no more to a white man than a mule.
Didn't mean as much. Didn't mean as much as a mule.
You agree to that?
No,
huh?
I agree to that.
Yeah. Well, that's the point. That's the point we're getting to now. You see, now you take a mule, they sold a mule. All right, then and that was time they sold a Negro too. See, what they looked at was just the face of a black man. I know a man at my home. They call him Mr. White. That was out on a plantation. Well, he had his own place there. It was about 50 or 60 miles of his place, a square, you know what I mean? From one side to another, you know? And all his fences around his place was white. The trees, he painted them white up as far as he could get. And all the cattle, and the sheep, the goats, and the hogs, and cows, and mules, horses, and everything on his place was white. And any time that... his cow or his goat or whatever it was, have a black goat or a black sheep or a black calf or black colt, anything like that, you give them to the niggas. He didn't want nothing on his plantation black. You see, he didn't want no Negro to even come through his place. See, the highway, the government highway went through his plantation. And he bought land around his plantation and built a road out to so Negroes couldn't come through his plantation at all. Come around all the way around, you know. See? Well, that state highway went right through his place. But they didn't want no Negroes come through that, see? When you get to that sign there, why it's a Negro turn, see? This is the main highway. Well, it says here, Negro turn. Well, you turn off that, see, and went around his plantation, see? Well, any time it was a calf or anything like that born on his place is black, he'd call up chickens, even down the black chickens. He had all white chickens, you know. This black chicken, the chicken hatch off some black chickens. Well, he'd take them and find some Negroes and give them to him, you know, get them off his place. And I've known It was a Negro and a white man standing. Well, it was right at a railroad crossing, you know, just as you get in town, like while you cross the railroad track. And it was a Negro and a white man standing there, you know, looking, just standing there talking. The white man was telling the Negro what he wanted him to do. And the Negro was coming driving a wagon with a gray mule, a black mule to a wagon, see. So this Negro drove up to the crossing, and the rail was kind of high there, see, and the wheel hit the rail, and the mule was trying to pull over, and he kept saying, get up, get up. So the white man hauled up that ass and says, hey, says, do you know that's the white mule you're talking? He says, oh, yes. I says, get up, Mr. Mule. But he wouldn't hit that gray mule, you know. He wouldn't hit that gray mule.
Yeah.
Get up, Mr. Mule, to the gray mule, you know. But the black mule, he'd hit the black mule, you know, see, and holler, get up, Mr. Mule, you know, to the gray mule.
What about that Prince Abbott tobacco, you know?
Well, I heard of that.
You couldn't, you know, if you go in a store, you didn't say, give me a can of Prince Abbott. Not with that white man on it, can.
What did you say? That?
Give me a can of Mr. Prince Abbott.
Mr. Prince Abbott tobacco,
that's what you say. I mean.
What was that at?
That was all down through Arkansas, down Goose, Dumas, Yankee Pierce.
Yankee Pierce.
Yankee Pierce. Arkansas.
Did you ever hear talk of goat shit?
No, goat neck, you
There you have it. It's called Blues in the Mississippi Night. I don't know if the conversation is so interesting. It seemed like a little different time, didn't it? But you got to hear three blues immortals in conversation. Big Bill Brunzi, Memphis Slim, and Sonny Boy Williamson number one, John Lee Williamson. Again, the interview was conducted by Alan Lomax. It was done March 2nd. Of 1947 in New York City. I don't know how all three of them were in New York City, but when you think about it, let's see, Sonny Boy had just a little over a year until he would be killed an untimely death. I think he was 30 years old here. Would he have been 31 when he died? I guess so. Anyways, Blues in the Mississippi Night, there it is. We have to do it probably like once every cycle on this program is every 3 years. So there you have it for this cycle. The time that's left, what do you say we grab some by Sonny Boy number one, John Lee Williamson.
Now when your little girl become 18 years old, begin to think she's grown. You can't never catch that kind of little girl at home. Have to go to see her early in the morning. Baby, about need to break the day. Now you ought to see me hug the pillow. Oh, where my baby you today? Now that I've got a little girl, her name is Miss Mary Ann. If I can't come to see you in the evening, baby, please tell me when I can. You tell me to come early in the morning, baby, about the break of day. Now you ought to see me hug the pillow. Oh, why my baby, you lay down. Look at your baby. You really got too many men. I can never come to see you in the evening. I have to come to see you when I can. You tell me to come early in the morning, baby, by the break of day. Now you ought to see me hug the pillow. Oh, why my baby, you lay now. Found out, baby, seem like you don't want me no more. And every time I come to your house, you don't even want me around your door. You tell me to come to see you early in the morning, baby, by the break of day. Now you ought to see me hug the pillow. Oh, why my baby, you delay me.
Yeah, early in the morning from November 1945, Sonny Boy Williamson on harmonica and vocal, Big Maceo piano, Tampa Red guitar, Charlie Saunders, Chick Saunders on the drums. We're going to let Sonny Boy take it out. This is a side from September of 1947, Eddie Boyd, Willie Lacey here, and this is Sure Had a Wonderful Time Last Night. Thank you.